generation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for us to come together, not because of we want to do something for ourselves, but we come together to worship you. To worship you and to focus on you alone. So be with us and let us to sing the praise into your courts, into your gates, and let your name be praised and be lifted up this morning. And Father, help us, let's have a wonderful worship so your name is above all names. And even with the rain, we are so thankful for the rain, even though sometimes we may not like it, the feeling, but we know it's going to be very helpful for us. Be with us this morning. Let us sing our praise and let's worship you. And let's worship you through the prayer, through the praise, through the words, and through our offering to you. Father, we thank you for this special day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to Comfort Community Church, the house of God, to worship our Creator and Savior with us. Since the member of the praising team, they are all gone, okay? And I'm the person that only dare to sing to myself. So I'm going to use the technology, and I'm the old-timer, so I'm going to use the hymn book. Okay, so let's worship together. Before we do that, let me read Romans chapter 1, 19 to 20. Since what may be known about God is plain to man, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible quality, his eternal powers, and divine natures have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So the first song we will sing is on the hymn book, number 2, How Great Thy Art. Okay. Let's stand, please.
Shout with joy to God on the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious.
All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds.
O Lord, they are in awesome wonder. Consider all the ones I have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder.
Oh, shall come.
When Christ shall come, we shall the acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
To the hymn number 7, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Before we sing it, let's read the Bible verses together, located at the bottom right corner on the next page, which were on the Lamentation, chapter 3, 22 to 24. And let's read together. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him.
Oh,
Let's turn to the hymn number 517. Before we sing that, let me read Philippians chapter 2, 6 to 8. Who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but make himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. While we gather to worship our God and resurrected Lord Jesus, let us sing this hymn in a moment like this to express our praise and gratefulness.
good morning. It's a cozy morning, right? So even though we don't have so many people, but our heart with them there in Colorado, a beautiful, beautiful place. And we saw some of the photos, some of the pictures we can share with those. So before we start this morning, let's bow ahead and pray, especially for those people among the mountains and enjoy the, over there, not only for the scenery, but enjoy to be with the Lord's blessing over there. Let's bow ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great morning, for the rain, for 1 hour less than sleeping last night, and also for all those people not with us this morning, but with them in Colorado in a beautiful, beautiful, awesome place. Father, we pray that you be with them, especially bless them with the safety on the road. We're thankful for that. They drove for 2 days, and also they have a wonderful worship last night. They have early morning worship this morning. And Father, we pray for Dustin because he had some fever last night. So pray that you can heal him, give him the rest, and let him be abide by you and also depend on you. And also, Father, we pray for Lambert. He also had some fever a couple of days ago. Father, we pray that every step they're over there, you protect them, guide them, bless them. Let them enjoy over there, but also let them enjoy, get together to know you better. Father, also pray that Wednesday they'll drive all the way back. Protect them, give them the safety on the road, and give all the drivers alertness, awareness, and also be safe home that midnight, after midnight. Father, we also pray this morning that we made the choice to come to worship you and you alone. Father, be with us and share with us, show us your word and show us what you have for us. And Father, we pray for both English service, Chinese service, all the same, because even though our pastor is not here, but you are with us. And Father, bless Pastor Chow in Taiwan. All his visiting, all his business in Taiwan be smooth, and let him and his wife have a great time and come back to us. And next Sunday is our 8 years anniversary to move into this building. Father, let us be prepared for that, because your faithfulness, just like the hymn was telling us, your faithfulness to give us opportunity to serve you, to have the salvation, to have this facility to worship you. And Father, use us, use this facility so that we can be your witness in this community. Father, give us the privilege and let us rely on you every step on the way. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you. And just like the hymn was saying, we're singing a love song that, Father, we love you. Jesus, I love you. And Holy Spirit, come to us this morning so we can worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, this morning, we're talking about shoes. That's the same theme in Colorado in several days. So we're going to use the same verses, but we don't have so many hours to go through it. Dustin will go through it on 4 days, 3 days. But we'll go through it in about 25 minutes. All right? Life is about choices. This morning, you can choose not to come to worship. There's so many reasons, right? The rain make us feel uncomfortable. 1 hour less sleep last night. And I'm glad you all woke up. And we don't have our friends here. So we have so many reasons to choose not to come here. But I'm so glad we made a good choice. We come to worship Him and Him alone. So through the praise, even though a hymn note, and the first time for Tao, and it's a great breakthrough. So we hope he will have many times to come. In the English service, also in Chinese service, can lead the hymns and praise together. But let's think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Actually, Jesus started on Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that? Blessed are the hungry in the spirit. And then he keep on talking until chapter 7, almost to the end. And today we're going to read through it. Chapter 7, verse... Oh, they gave me the... Alright, from 13. Let's read through together from 13. The narrow and wide gate, please. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruits you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from the thistles? Right? And likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by the fruit, you will recognize them. That's talk about true and false prophet. And next, they talk about true and false disciples. Let's read 20, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's very harsh. And the next one, the wise and foolish builders. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it has its foundation, what? On the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blows and beat that against the house. It fell with a great crash. Those are very, very serious reminders. And those are putting in the end of the Sermon of the Mount. On the Mount. So there must be something that we need to be very, very careful. Because here in verse 13 and 14, it talk about narrow and wide gates. And a lot of people can choose different gates and different roads. And just like we choose this morning, many people will choose the easier one. Many people will choose the one have very popular one. And I was telling my daughters a couple of days ago, and he was sharing with me in the college and those. And she said, there's some friends growing up from Fort Lavaca, they went to Austin. And gradually they separate farther and farther away because of different choices. And in our life, it is like that. Through our choices, those will make our paths of life. And there's one important choice we all have to make, is how we treat Jesus. The past Wednesday, March 7th, was a very special day for me. Not because of Apple come with a new iPad, okay? And not because of March 7th, New York Knicks, Jeremy Lin was playing in San Antonio. Even though it's special, I went to see the game. And I drove for 10 hours. Not from here to San Antonio, I drove from here to Houston, pick up my daughters and her friends. And from there, go to San Antonio and take them back home and come back home here. So it is very special. But let me tell you a secret. March 7th was a special day for me because that was the day I was baptized. I was baptized 30-some years ago that night in Taiwan, in Taipei. And actually, the Chinese worship today, the speaker, is from that church. But he was not my pastor. He left that church to another assignment from Southern Baptist right before I got to that church. So, but he will be with us. So if you don't have English Sunday school, you're more than welcome to join the Chinese service. And I believe Paul and a couple of us will try to translate for you. He has been the pastor over there for years, but he left there about 37 years ago. I was baptized about 36 years ago over there. So March 7th was a special day for me. At that day, I made a choice to follow Jesus. And till this day, I never regret. Because I knew if I didn't follow him, if I didn't choose that road, I'm not sure where I'm going to be. I was the rebellious one in my family. I was, since I was young, I was the rebellious one, always caused my parents to have concerns. I was very rough teenagers years. Okay. I was maybe calm on the outside, but very destructive inside. I can be good in one year in the school. I can be very, very bad in next year in the school. I was causing teachers troubles. There's weeks, even months, I don't speak to anyone in my family because of I was mad on some small little bit things. And I was, there's one year in junior high, cannot say anything but curse when I open my mouth. Cannot close my mouth before I have some foul language. I know you cannot believe that, but that was me. I was totally lost. I don't know where to get the peace. I don't know how to deal with myself. And I have very low self-image. I was grabbed my backpack. I don't want to go to school. I was stuck in the bathroom. And I was just totally out of shape, out of my place, until I know I found Jesus. And that was 1975, October, end of October. Billy Graham was in Taiwan. And I went to that evangelical meeting. Out of nowhere, I was not a Christian. I don't like Christianity. Let me be true with you. Because the teachers I love, not Christians, they criticize Christianity. And I don't like any of those. But somehow I went to that meeting, and if I have a chance, some other opinion I'll share with you. And then I left my address and my name. They assigned me to that church. And a couple months later, they come visit me, and then I start to go to church. And several months later, March the 7th, I was baptized. And from that and on, I was on a different road. And I'm so grateful, by God's grace, choose into a different gate, on a different road. And I was praying that every one of us, everyone that we knew, can make that choice, can choose against the crowd, can choose to follow Jesus. So that was the first time, and since then, and the verses from 15 to 20, and then from 20 to 23 remind us on the true and false prophecy, prophets and disciples. Those are very harsh, and those have some different explanation during different circumstances. But it's very good reminder is we need to watch whoever share with us what's their fruit, not only what they're saying. And we need to be careful, not only our doing, but our being. Okay, verse 15 to 20 tell us there's a good tree and there's good fruit and there's bad tree. And there's bad fruit. There's a story in India, a missionary was have a gospel meeting, and he was telling them about Jesus Christ, and there's a lady very focused sitting down there. And after a while, the lady went off. And the missionary was kind of odd. Oh, what she's doing? And then after a while, she came back and even more focused to what he's teaching until the end. So until the end, the missionary asked him, hey, I was just wondering where you went right in the middle of the meeting, and you went off and come back minutes later and even more focused on the message. And she said, I really enjoyed the first part of your teaching, but I have to go out to check with your servants. How was your doing it being in your life, in your daily life? Until they told me you are as humble, as faithful as what you're teaching on the stand, I came back. I want to listen more of you. So that's important. Today there's a lot of people sharing in Christianity, outside of Christianity, in philosophy, in different saying, in different, especially in the college, in the university. You have chance to be stumbled with all kind of theory. But not only listen to what people share with you, but watch what they're doing. Watch their life. So you will know if that's a good tree, if they have good fruit. And that's the verse 15 to 20. And how about 21, 22, 23? Talk about true and false disciples. A lot of times we became Christian, we're busy. We do a lot of things for the Lord. But the Sermon on the Mount taught us there's nothing we can do to fulfill God's standard. There's nothing in this world anyone can do to please God. The only thing we can do is rely on Him. Admit that we are sinners. And accept the gift from Him. Even though we became Christian, we still cannot please God through our doing. That's why a lot of people say, Lord, Lord, I do this for you, I did that for you. The Lord says, I don't even know you. And what He's telling us is, what kind of person is more important than what you do outside your activity? There's nothing we can do to please God before we become a Christian and after we become a Christian. The relationship between us and Jesus is much more important than our daily activity. So that's a reminder for me, because when I was in the first year in college, I count, I have more than 15, 16 meetings, Christians meetings, every week. I join the choir, I do this, I go to small group, I went to special speakers, I just filled with schedule. But I was doing it at the other end, to be a son, to be a student, and to have witness. Until I understand, it's not because of what I'm doing will please God. I have to live a life that close to Him and be balanced. Instead of go through every meeting I can, do everything I can, try to please Him. And those are important reminders, but I'd like to share with you a couple verses this morning. To me, that's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And that's very important. Verse 24. Verse 24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine, of Jesus. Which words? The words from chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount. So that's the conclusion, that's the end. When Jesus talked about a lot of things, but in the end He said, therefore, everyone who hears this word of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blows and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it has foundation on the rock. But everyone it has who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain comes down, the stream rose, the winds blow against and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. So what's the difference? Everyone hears the words of Jesus, because those on the mountains are his disciples, are the followers, are the crowds. And they all hear the words from Jesus. What a privilege. I was always imagining if we can be one of those on that day, on the mount, listen to Jesus. What a privilege. But not everyone on that day follow Jesus. I would say if I can hear Jesus, I'll definitely follow him since the first word he said, right? But not everyone. Let's look at this. Sorry for the color. It's not very visible, but on the left hand side, you can see everyone hears the words of mine, is Jesus, like a wise man. On the right hand side, also everyone hears the words of mine, like a foolish man. That's the difference. Build his house on the rock, and the other one built his house, what? On sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against house, the same. But on the left hand side did not fail. The right hand side fell with a great crash. What's the difference of those two? They both listened to Jesus. The difference, it has foundation on the rock. What's the foundation on the rock? What's the foundation on the rock? They both built, right? They both used material to build a house, but on different foundation. I was always thought the foundation is Jesus. That's always the right answer, right? Whenever the pastor or the preacher says, hey, whatever question, the answer says Jesus, that's the right answer, right? I always thought that. But when I look at this, those verses, there's a different perspective. The rock is the choice that people make and put them into practice. The only difference of those two people, one is what? Put Jesus' word into practice. The other one is what? Didn't put them into practice. Notice this. Jesus didn't ask us to fulfill what the Sermon on the Mount said, because he knew we cannot do it. We cannot do any of those. Walk the second mile, and when somebody slap you and you turn to the other cheek. He knew we cannot do it. But he was telling us, some people say it's the constitutes of kingdom, of heavenly kingdom. And if we cannot achieve those, fulfill those, do that day in and day out, but what's the difference? What Jesus asked for is put them into practice. He didn't say you will do that perfect every time, but he did ask us to try it, to practice it. That's the difference. To practice this is not easy, because to build a house on the rock, it takes more effort. It's much easier to build on the sand, right? You play on the sand on the beach, put a sand castle, that's easy, right? You just do those together with some water, with some sand, but it will not last. But if you can build a house on the rock, it's going to take tougher material. It's going to take longer time. But it's worthwhile. It's worthwhile. There's a church in the United States. 30-some years ago, the church started with several hundred people. And gradually, it became more than 20,000 people in that church. So they are a very successful church in Chicago. And 1 year, about 6, 7, 8 years ago, they are making a survey. They're trying to figure out how to utilize all those offering, all those resources to put in the right place. So they make a survey. They try to see which mission they need to put more focus. They need to spend more money in what area. They are one of the first seeker-sensitive church in the United States. Some of you heard about it, Willow Creek Church. It's a very big church, and they influence a lot of churches to grow. They also have leadership every year, like a retreat, to help many pastors to follow the same route. And during that survey, they found out some scary result. They had a survey and come back. The pastor tell the senior pastor, says, hey, we got some trouble. From the survey, out of the survey, thousands of survey go went out. They received those back. 18% of those respondents not satisfied with church. There's 1,000 people who want to leave the church. Why? They have music, I went to that church one time. The cafeteria is more than all our building here. More than this building. They have Starbucks, they have different booths. After service, they have groove, they have different ministry. And when you go to that, it's just like go to a big sanctuary, like a big sanctuary in the university. From different doors going to there, I joined the one service over there. But they found out the church is not a healthy and not in on the right direction as the pastor thought. So they scrambled for a while. They said, hey, we have to make some change. Because those people not satisfied with the spiritual growth. They have a lot of activities. But people standing there. They thought, hey, if we have greeter in the parking lot, have them come to here and give them the opportunity to do to help in the poor, to do some activities, and they will become a Christian. They will grow. But they don't find it. They don't find the people grow in a spiritual way like they are anticipating. So they start to make changes. They start to make changes, and 3-4 years later, they make another survey. In the United States, more than 1,000 church, more than 250,000 people. They try to figure out what they found. Is that coincidence? Is that same? Is that similar to other churches? They found very similar. So they come out with a study. They said there's a 4 stage of Christian growth. 4 stage. Let me see. Okay. The spiritual continent. They said the first group is exploring Christ. Some people believe in God, but not necessarily, not sure about Christ. They believe there's a creator. They believe there's a God creating the universe. They believe there's some being above and beyond us. But they're not sure it's Christ. The second stage is growing in Christ. He said, those people believe in Jesus, and I'm working on what it means to get to know Him. So try to, through the Bible, through the Christian, to understand what Christ is about. And the third part is close to Christ. He become a Christian and want to be close to Christ. He said, I feel really close to Christ and depend on Him daily for guidance. That's close to Christ. And the fourth stage is Christ-centered. That means my relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship in my life. It guides everything I do. So they come up with this analysis, the 4 stage of the continent, from exploring the Christ, to growing in Christ, to close to Christ, and to be Christ-centered. And out of those 4, they found out the people coming to church not necessarily to go from one stage to the next. They may stand there, join activities. They may stand there, participate and offer and do some volunteer work, but not necessary to move from one stage to the next. But that's very important. And that's why Jesus said, to that day, some people call me Lord, Lord, but I don't even know them. Because they might still in the first stage. They hypothetically believe there's a God, but they are not sure about that Jesus Christ. They might read the Bible sometimes, and when they're in trouble, they pray to God, but not necessarily build a strong relationship with Him, ask for His guidance, and grow in Christ. So that church started changing. 3-4 years ago, they started to change. They not only have service for the seekers, sensitive service, they start Wednesday night, have Bible study, just like seminary class. They taught those classes, and people start growing. And from those experiences, the senior pastor, they recently come out a book, and in the preface, the senior pastor says, in the past several years, it was the best year they ever had. They have more people baptized. They have more people growing in Christ. Not only join the activities, but they have more people to teach, to share, to witness, to grow in Christ, become Christ in the vessel. And so they come out with some analysis again to help other church. Look at this. They saw the church model, the church activities model for spiritual growth is automatic to happen. When people come into church, the door of the church, and then join the classes, attending the worship, and maybe sometimes support mission, and then serving in the kitchen, or serving and put the chairs up, and also do some Bible study, and the people will grow. But not necessary. The people grow not because of the church activity. The people grow in spiritual is not because they come Sunday morning. So they come up with another reminder. They are encouraging. They are encouraging the leadership in the church need to do 4 things. The first thing is get the people moving from one stage to the next stage. Provide the necessity classes. How to know Jesus Christ, how to grow, how to be baptized, and after baptized, how to grow afterwards. I'm so thankful for Pastor Chow. We have a couple of people baptized not long ago, and maybe probably for the first time in our church, after baptism, we have a small class to teach those people to grow, to how to become a Christian. And there's 2, 3, 4 Christians to be with them. So they're not alone. And from those, they just finished March the 5th. And they're talking about how they're going to have the next step to help those people grow. That's a very important step, is not to have people baptized and leave them alone. That's how I made some mistakes in the past. I said, oh, they're baptized, so they're good, they're okay, let's worry about somebody else. No, we should help them to grow, just like if you have a baby. After you deliver the baby, you are going to nurture him or her. You're not going to leave them alone and say, hey, now you're fine. Right? So that's what we're missing, one of the links. So the first step is get people moving. And second, he found out, that church, 20-some thousand people, they found out embedding the Bible. Not only in the church, oh, open the Bible, let's read it, but in our everyday life, to open our Bible, to meditate, to think, to practice. That's what Jesus asked. Put them into practice. Not only to open the Bible in the church and put it back on the shelf when we go home, and nowadays we don't even bring the Bible, right? We have Bible here, we have iPad, we have iPhone, we have all those. We just click. And then we see different verse, different version of the Bible, translation. And sometimes we forgot the Bible is not only to hold in our hand, but to be kept in our heart. Not only to be heard in our ears, but to be practiced in our daily life. And that makes the church different. And with all those different theories in the world, all different current events, where you go to find some basic foundation worldview? That's a choice. That's a choose. You can choose from listening to somebody on the TV. You can listen to somebody, your good friend. You can listen to some older generation. I was very enjoyed the trip we took the pastor. He's 83 years old, the Chinese speaker we're going to have. Along the way from Houston back, and we talk and we share, and that was a blessing. We can listen to a lot of different things, but let's don't forget, go back to the Bible. Go back to the Bible. A church embedded with Bible. Do you know that? Next week we'll have the church 8th year we moved to this building. I don't think, some of you might still remember, before we put the tiles, before we put the carpet, we had a Sunday. We all come here, did one thing, from oldest to the youngest, who can hold a pen. We wrote our favorite Bible verse on the concrete, behind the carpet. We want this church to be built on God's word, not by human beings. Behind this, and even in some of Sunday school, the concrete, we have little kids writing down the Bible verse that we love, and it's all there. Because God's word is our foundation. We have to embed it with the Bible. And God's blessing always in this church, not because we are able, but because we know how important it is to have God's word with us. The third one is to have the sense of ownership. And that's another important thing. The church is not about only the pastor, the elder, the deacon, the one who is here. The church is about you. We are the church. So if we really focus on God's word, if we feel like there's a burden that we need to do, like the ski trip, the spring retreat in Colorado, we thought, can we do that? When Dustin first mentioned, oh, let's do this. Can we do that? We have 49 people went there. And through all the coordination, preparation, Dustin, bless his heart, because he is very difficult. And a lot of different schedule, different idea, different thought, and need to pull together and drive for about 16, 17, 18 hours. That's incredible. But when they have the ownership, the drivers, the preparation, the parents, the kids share some of the workload. I saw one list. The family prepared some of the food. Oh, you prepare this and I prepare that. So in the hotel, we have some food. And I saw them out Friday, lunchtime. It was incredible. Young people excited and crammed into the 15-passenger van. And they feel like, hey, we're doing something. So the ownership is very important. It's not somebody's doing it. It's we are doing something. We are part of this God family. And I'm so encouraged when around the last Sunday, I think, what I heard is, hey, maybe she suggests, maybe she can be a Sunday school teacher to help out the kids. I heard that afterwards. I was so moved. Because we are the church. We are not a bystander. When we are moved by God's Spirit, you're like, hey, we can participate. We can be part of this. Then this church is moving. And I know, I have to say this, it's not easy for some of you to choose to come to this church, because there's many church. And you have to come through a gate. The poster is showing a different language. The face is different, and sometimes, once in a while, have people come to you, shake your hands. And otherwise, they group together talking about their things, saying you don't even understand. But I'm so grateful for you to have that courage to choose to be part of God's family with a different face, different language. But we all are Christians. And unless you have a heart of mission, unless you have a mind ruled by God, says, hey, we can have some English ministry in this community. Before we build this church, I use the bicycle. I try to run, but I use the bicycle to go through every road of this community and find out how many family houses here has, how many Chinese families, how many not Chinese families. And I was counting, I said, wow, we do need a church here. At first, when I first time drive through Smith Road, that was almost 20 years ago, when I saw a church on the left hand side, a church building looks like, I was excited until I saw the sign on the building. It's a Mormon church. And that's the only similar building in this community. And my heart was burdened. I know we need a church in this community. We need a church in this community. So they have a choice. If they decide to have a church in this community, they have a choice to make. And we can be that vessel that God can use. Even though we might be young, even though we might be busy, but when we are moved by God, no one can stop us. If we really have a vision to become a community church, God will provide. God always provides. God always provides. Yesterday, I showed the pastor to come to this church. They were amazed. He has been a pastor more than 50 years. He went to many churches. He spent years in the United States and tried to be extension of Southern Baptists to build some Chinese missionary. So he saw different churches. He come here, the first thing he said, praise the Lord. He said, how come you guys have this blessing to have a church here? And he has visited many churches, some exciting stories, some not so excited, but we're so thankful that God used this church and used you and me to build his church in this community. And we can be part of it. And the last part is pastor the community, not to serve the community alone, but to be pastoring to the community, because the community need, because there's value system, there's some direction that's not necessarily healthy, not necessarily fulfill God's preference, not necessarily follow along God's demand. We are strained away. We need to help to serve the community, but we need to pastor the community so that more and more people have a chance to listen to the gospel, to respond to Jesus' challenge. It says, you have to choose the gate and the road. You have to choose if you want to practice what Jesus said. Or you choose to listen and leave and forget about it. And that's the difference. And this morning, let's try to respond to him, to make the choice to choose to practice what Jesus taught us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for what you have taught us on the Sermon on the Mount. So many great sermons in Matthew, in all the Gospels. But you challenge us, you ask us to make the right choices. Then you challenge us when we hear the words, how to be a wise man, how to build the house on the rock. Father, help us so that we can choose to practice, to put your words, your teaching into practice in the church, in our daily life. And Father, especially again, bless Dustin and the whole group over there so they can enjoy the trip, have the safety, have the health, and have your word with them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.